Well, is our interest in your prayers this morning as we look into the Word of God. The message the Lord had been dealing with me, and I woke up one morning and the message was just there. The Lord had put on my heart, and as I had been meditating on it, I don't know that we're going to finish it this morning. But son, resist the devil, and Lord help us, as the song said, to keep on the firing line. I'm reminded of a story I heard. I might not get it exactly right about it was in the Civil War and there's a battle going on and something happened to one of the soldiers and his captain said, just go to the rear. Just go to the rear. And he went back and then pretty soon the soldier comes back and says, Captain, there's fighting everywhere. There is no rear. Give me a gun. You know, that's the way the Lord wants it to be in our service to the Lord. There's no rear. There's no back. There ought to be fighting going on because the devil is attacking. And the Lord does not want us to get complacent this morning spiritually. And I would just like to actively encourage all of us. Doesn't matter how long we've been saved, regardless of how old we are, the devil is fighting hard, and I want to challenge us to resist the devil. Simply, let's resist. Now, to resist, by definition, it means to withstand the action or effect of. To exert force in opposition. In other words, really, it's talking about fighting. If the devil pushes, push back. If the devil attacks, don't run. See, the scripture says resist the devil and what? He will flee. But we're living in a time that too many people are running from the enemy. We are not to be the ones running, saints. People say, well, when temptation comes, just run. No, just a minute. Depends on what we're talking about. We need to resist and make the devil run. All right, we need to fight, and if we're not careful, see, we believe in humility, right? Yeah. We believe in being an humble people, and the saints should be a mild and a meek, but that does not mean we should be gutless, folks. As children of God, the scripture says, the kingdom of God suffereth what? Violence, and the violent taketh it by what? By force. And I just would, if we can allow the Spirit of God this morning to stir us up, that we cannot afford to be complacent. Something happened the other day, and it was just a little trial. And the Lord had already given me this message, and I thought, you know what, I'm gonna fight here. Not fight someone, but I'm gonna fight for this cause. I'm going to fight the enemy. I'm going to recognize that that person is not my problem. This individual is not my problem. It's the devil attacking, and I'm not going to allow the devil to do that. I'm going to stand up and I'm going to fight. And you know what? It took care of the problem. Because I took a stand, whereas I could have put my target on someone else's back. And I thought, wait a minute, they're not the problem. Do you know this morning, when we talk about resisting the devil, it's talking about fighting him, pushing back against the influences and forces that he would exert on us. Do we not all see where the enemy is exerting forces on us? Sometimes those that are younger think that maybe when you get old, that the devil, you just had enough time with God, that the devil doesn't have any power anymore. Not so. I started my ministry in Shawnee, where the bulk of the congregation was the elderly. And I learned something. The devil doesn't give up. If anything, he battles harder because he knows that they may not be as long for this world. So the devil is attacking young and old. Yes, the nature of temptation is a little different. But the devil's still trying to exert influences. So the scripture in James chapter 4, very familiar. James chapter 4, verse 6. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth what? Grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. And see, sometimes we can stop there, and my burden is not on the submission part. That's the first part, okay? That is the first part. Because it's really hard to resist the devil if you haven't first submitted to God. So we can spend all our time fighting the devil and not winning because we fail to say, Lord, I submit to your will and your way. But after we have submitted, it doesn't mean to be a little spiritual mouse and run to the corner. It means when we have submitted to God, we can have courage to go out and do what? Fight. I've submitted myself to God. I've said yes to His will. Lord, it's my desire not to give in to temptation. So Lord, I submit to you. But now I'm going to stand and I'm not going to run from the devil. I'm not going to run from the problem, but I'm going to face it in the name of the Lord, and I'm going to conquer, and I'm going to push back against where the devil's working. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. How much have we been resisting? You know, I think it varies from time to time, but I think we're living in a day that this is the influence of the enemy. He'd like us to be complacent. And part of serving God is, saints, we're in a fight. We're not fighting against one another. We're not fighting our companion or our parents or our children. That's not the nature of the battle. The enemy is where the target should be. And we need to zero in on the enemy this morning and resist him. Well, people are acting as if they don't have any choice. I can't help it. I don't have any, I'm powerless. Evil is all around us. People are living sensual, ungodly lives. There's so much ambivalence to holiness. Just ambivalent. Take it or leave it. Usually leave it. But there's just a lackadaisical attitude towards even holy living. It's time to fight. It's time to resist that. It's time to recognize where these influences are coming from and to begin to resist that in the name of the Lord. It is not the path of least resistance that's going to give us spiritual victory. The easy thing to do when problems come are to run. But I remember being in the middle of a real battle, and it would have been much easier to walk away. Have y'all ever been there? In a situation, don't misunderstand me. There are some situations you do need to walk away from. But there's a difference in the motivation, purpose, and how you do it. And it would have been easier to walk away, but the Lord told me something. He said, you, right now, later on, maybe it's all right to walk away. And it wasn't my marriage, by the way. The Lord said, He said, you need to get victory over this first. And once you've conquered this, once your spirit is right, once this has been, you have victory in this area, then if I want to lead you to do something, that's fine. But now's not the time. In other words, folks, too many times there are battles with the enemy and we say, well, I'm just going to try to escape it. But rather than escape the battle, we need to go out and conquer those things, and we come out stronger. Because we've resisted in the name of the Lord, not in our own strength, but Lord, I'm doing this, and this is your cause. This is your work. This is what the scripture teaches. So I'm going to go out and I'm going to fight. And if it's something inside I'm fighting in me, I want to get victory over it. And once I have victory over it, then I'm in a place of clarity before God to seek His guidance in decisions that will affect my life. But it's one of the reasons why it's not good to make life-changing decisions when you are in the middle of grief, in the middle of a severe spiritual battle. It's really not time to be making major life decisions. Does that make sense? Because we want to get in that place that we're submitted to God. We have been healed in our spirits that we can have a soundness of mind, that we can truly be open, that I'm not running from something. I'm not running from myself. I'm not running from someone else or something else. But Lord, I'm open now what you want me to do. And then we can do it in the name of the Lord. It's time to push back, saints. Again, but it's not talking about each other. It's time to push back against the forces of the enemy and recognize that he's our foe. We do not need to live in fear this morning. We don't need to live in fear. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And the scripture also says, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Which means, when the devil tempts you, yes, run, and we want to clarify this. You can run from the temptation, but don't run from the devil. You resist the devil and make him run. Alright? There's a difference there. Resist the devil. You may have a fight. Margaret Thatcher, y'all remember Margaret Thatcher? She's the Prime Minister of England. She said this, "You may have to fight a battle more than once to win it." You know, spiritually, that's true. We believe, this is a high calling. I believe in victory in Jesus Christ. I believe it. I found it to be so. But I also have to acknowledge that there have been many a battle that I came out not as victorious as I should have been. But it wasn't time to run away and say, "Well, I lost." It was time to go back and say, "Lord, I'm going to go back and face that same enemy, and by your help, I'm going to do better." So you may have lost a battle, but it doesn't mean you've lost the war, saints. So don't give up. Don't say, "Well, I just can't live. I've tried that." Do you know how many times I prayed? Do you know how many times I've committed? Do you know how many times I've gone to the altar? And it just, maybe you need to go one more time. Maybe the next time. But don't give up the battle. Because it's not going to get any better if you give up. All you're doing is giving ground for the enemy. So as long as I've asked people, "How are you doing?" They say, "Well, I'm really fighting." So, well, thank the Lord. Maybe you feel like you've been losing, but at least you're still fighting. And I have found this to be so. If you will keep fighting, you will gain the victory eventually. It may take some time, but you will get the victory through Jesus Christ. So let's start resisting. And I'm not saying anybody's been doing this, but I'm speaking generically here. I think that too many, individually and as a people, sometimes we've been too complacent spiritually. And we need to get up and be men and women and say, "I'm going to stand against the enemy here. I'm not going to be giving in anymore to this. I'll submit to this person and I'll humble myself to that one, but I am not going to submit to the devil. And I want to stand and be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." You fight, and folks, eventually He's going to run. Be sober, the scripture says, 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9. Said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Now there's some instruction given. He said, "Whom resist, resist, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." The enemy is a tough adversary. He is. He's pretty smart. Now, I don't want to give the devil too much credit this morning, but I want to tell you something. If we discredit him too much, we will get complacent. Most battles are lost because the enemy's either unknown or underestimated. Because we need to know our enemy this morning. We need to recognize how he works and where he's working. And when I begin to recognize the enemy, I know where to focus our spiritual resources to fight that. Here's what I think. And if you disagree with me, I'm going to speak by permission and not by commandment. I've been speaking a lot about marriage recently, because all over the country and all over the world, the enemy is attacking homes. All right? I think too many husbands and wives are seeing each other as the problem instead of recognizing, you know what, the devil's the one trying to cause problems. So when a problem comes up, when a misunderstanding comes up, what do you think would happen if a husband and wife that both have a desire to serve the Lord looked at each other and said, you know what? There may be a disagreement here. There may be, yes, a problem that we need to work through. But you know what? Let's do this together and recognize that it's the enemy that's trying. Are we going to let a wall be built up here and look at each other and say, no, let's not let a wall. Let's fight the enemy together and get on our knees and seek God, that together we'll recognize the devil's fighting. Do you not think there would be some greater victories in homes this morning? I think there would be. Yes, there's still going to be misunderstandings and differences and frustrations, things to work through. But ultimately, the victory is ours. I believe you can take two people of very diverse backgrounds and differences and put them together. And if they both have a desire to serve the Lord, I believe the Lord can bless their homes. Are there going to be more compromises they both have to make for each other? Yes. Yes, very likely. But can they find a place of being at peace and one and actually enjoy themselves together? I believe the answer to that is yes. But I believe it's going to take recognizing where the focus of the battle is. Let's not be complacent, but resist the devil. All right, I didn't know I was getting into all of that. But we have an enemy this morning. An enemy. If the enemy comes in a congregation and tries to start causing division, differences, different perceptions, different of how something is or was or will be, where's the focus of the battle? Are we going to allow the enemy to cause us to split over something? Wait, that's the devil that tries to cause division, isn't it? Okay, so maybe we'll have to work through something on a personal level, but you know what? Let's recognize together that the enemy is our foe, and let's fight him together. Resisting the enemy. I'm not going to give in to disunity. I'm not going to give in to division. I'm not going to give in to these walls. I'm not going to give in. But let's resist. We can know about God and we can know about church. We can know about truth. We can know a lot about holiness. But folks, we have to know that there is an enemy that we need to resist and to fight. So he said, resist steadfast in the faith. You know, oftentimes the enemy attacks through temptation, doesn't he? Temptation is a desire on the flesh. And I really would like a show of hands here, if you don't mind being vulnerable. Is there anyone here this morning at your age and your wherever you're at in your walk with God that never has any temptations anymore? I'd really like to see all of the hands. I don't see any. And if I ask for the reverse, those that still did have temptations, I believe if we were all honest, we'd all put our hand up, wouldn't we? Temptation is not sin. Children, young people, temptation is not wrong. It doesn't mean you've done wrong. Old and young alike, if you're tempted to do something God's not pleased with, that is not sin. But that's the battleground. That's the battleground. Resist the devil. Okay, I'm being tempted. You say, but if you are more spiritual, if you're as spiritual as you think you were, why would you even be tempted by that? I'll tell you the reason that is because we are in the flesh. And until the Lord Jesus comes back, we will have temptations of the flesh. No matter how bad or how vile or how sinful it might be, is not that the nature of temptation? To have an attitude, to have unforgiveness, a spirit of to see something and the enemy try to take your mind and bring it to draw on the flesh, those all temptation is common to man. But God will not suffer anyone to be tempted above that they're able to bear. But He will with the temptation do what? Make a way to escape. So don't ever allow the enemy to get you pressed down and win the battle because you think you shouldn't be being tempted. You understand? I think there are some victories the enemy has won because people think, well, I'm being tempted like this and it's just awful and I'm sick of it. Well, thank God you're sick of it, but resist the devil. And some think, well, if I can make a trip to the altar and I can have the Holy Spirit, I'll get to the place that I won't even be tempted anymore. You know what? Temptation can start losing its power the closer you get to God. But when, and I can testify, there are going to be temptations as you grow in the Lord. They lose their power. But when that one loses its power, let's not fool ourselves. The enemy's still out to get us, and he'll come with something very different, but it's still temptation. It's still to try to draw us from the flesh. So, the devil is a liar. Does anybody here like labels? You know, you go in the store, you like labels, but we're living in a time that a lot of things that with some of the issues that our country's facing in race, what it comes down to in part, is people don't like labels, do they? I don't like labels either. This thing goes all the way around. Because someone is a certain color or a certain race, they don't want to be labeled a certain way. Well, because I am a certain race or a certain culture, I don't like to be labeled either. I would like to be judged on who I am and on my character rather than you're a white male. I would like to be judged by my honesty and my integrity and my and who I am. That's what the world wants, isn't it? There is one thing that we ought to label and label it well this morning. The devil is a liar. He is the father of lies. So when the devil comes in with temptation, making you think that something's good, let's remember this as we resist the devil. He's a liar. John Piper said this, and he was speaking about lust, but it applies across the board. He said that sin gets its power by persuading me to believe that I will be more happy if I follow it. The power of all temptation is the prospect that it will make me happier. Isn't that really what temptation does? There's this thinking in our mind that I'll be happier if I do such and such. Or I'll be happier if I go here. Or I'll be happier if I can just give in to that attitude. But the devil's a liar. So temptation by its very nature is a lie. It's a lie. It's not true. So let's label him. Let's label him this morning. And let's fight the enemy from high ground. Lord kind of gave me this thought. I was just thinking of fighting. You know, you start thinking about military tactics. You know, one of the goals in fighting in the military is, and I just remember even from being in, get the high ground. You don't want to be down in the valley, and the enemy's the one with the high ground because they can shoot down at you. It's a lot easier to attack when you've got the high ground. I think spiritually, let's get the high ground and let's keep it, and we're still going to have a fight. We cannot expect this morning to put ourselves in the way of temptation and not be affected by it. Alright? We can't expect to keep of our own volition. Place ourselves in the way of temptation. I remember some advice. I was a young minister, and actually Brother James and I were counseling someone. I'm just going to name it out because I don't want to be, don't try to be politically correct. They were a homosexual. And we were counseling them, and I remember Brother James telling them this. And I was young, so I was learning. I was learning, I still am. But it stuck with me. Brother James said, one of the things he told me, he said, quit going to those places that you used to go to where there were these temptations and places that you would fall. Now that covers a whole lot of ground. You may say, well, I don't live that lifestyle, but you know what? Some people do. That advice will work for them. It'll work for you and whatever your temptations are. Keep the high ground. In other words, the individual that had gotten saved would still have temptations to do wrong. Temptation is not sin. And yet, to keep the high ground, you have to stay on the Lord's ground. Don't willfully put yourself in that same environment and say, well, I'm not going to give in. I'm going to be strong in the Lord. If you go to those same places, guess what? The same thing's going to happen because you chose to give up the high ground. So, which means this. And I'm just going to quote Charles Spurgeon now, all right? This is a good little recipe of understanding dealing with temptation. What settings are you in when you fall? Avoid them. What props do you have that support your sin? Eliminate them. What people are you usually with? Avoid them. Isn't that? And then he went on to say there are two equally damning lies that Satan wants us to believe. One is just once won't hurt. Might I quickly add, exceptions quickly turn into the rule. Have you ever made an exception for something? Just once. It was a lot easier to do the second time, and after that, it almost became a pattern because you made an exception. Saints, this isn't about someone laying down the law in your life, but you need to lay down some laws in your own life. Be very careful about making exceptions. Be very careful about making exceptions. And then he also went on to say that now that you've ruined your life, you're beyond God's use and you might as well enjoy sinning. That was the other lie that the enemy brings. So I think as we resist the devil this morning, that we have to consider, where were we at when we fell? Avoid those places. I've said it this way many times to many young men, and I know we're a mixed multitude, and I'm going to be careful here, but I believe this is edifying to us all. Someone driving down the road that sees something that's not good, not pure, not modest, you can't help what you just saw. Can't help it. It was there. There is grace for you to overcome. There's grace. There might be a battle. There was a battle. But there is grace for you to cast down imaginations. There's grace to do that. But if you willfully choose to bring something into your life, you willfully drive out of your way. I'm going to go this route so I can see that or see that person. And then you wonder why the grace of God doesn't work. You lost the high ground. See, we can't avoid temptation altogether. It's out there. But when you can't avoid it, that's when God's grace works. But when you choose to place yourself in the way of temptation, and then people wonder why they're falling, you chose to get up the high ground. Does that make sense? It applies in a lot of areas. That's just one illustration. But the scripture says, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 and 5, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down what? Imaginations. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. The devil is a liar. Thoughts. When thoughts come to our mind, whether it's impurity, whether it's bitterness, whether it's unforgiveness, whether it's resentment, whatever it is, the battleground is oftentimes the mind. And the scripture says, cast it down. Resist it. Fight it. Don't give in to it. Because the reality is this, what we feed will do what? What you feed will grow. And we say, why is this just such a battle in my life? And it seems like it never ends, and it seems like I'm not having grace, and it keeps growing. Are you feeding it? You know, you can feed attitudes. You just keep thinking about it and mulling it over and resurrecting and going historical, and it keeps growing. You keep feeding. It's going to keep growing. You know, the answer is to choke it out. Whenever it comes to your mind, and it will, it's like, Lord, I submit to you. Lord, I help me to forgive like I should, and I resist the devil here. I choose, I forgive. In the name of Jesus, I forgive that person. I love that person. I release all of the animosity, and you might have to do it more than once or more than 10 times, but keep doing it. I'm not going to give in. The same thing applies to other temptations of the flesh. If there is something that tends to be a trigger to that problem, can you do anything to get rid of the trigger? If something's a downfall to you, you may need to cut it out of your life. That's part of resisting the devil. I want to disarm the enemy as much as I can. I can't do it completely, but I want to disarm him. So if I know the enemy, and I'm going to just give an illustration. If this, you know, the devil has used this little thing so many times, hasn't he? And I'm talking about more than just talking too much on it too. That can be a problem too for some people. But you know what? There's nothing wrong with a phone, but we're walking around with the world in our pocket, saints. We're walking around with the world in our pocket. It would be better, and obviously you know I'm not preaching against them because I have one. But you better be careful. Because the reality is it would be better to go through life, what? Maimed. And make it to heaven than to leave the enemy equipped with something that keeps being a downfall. So if there are things that the enemy keeps using, whatever the case might be, avoid them, get rid of them, do whatever you have to do because your soul is much more important than some of the ease and things of this life. We're not having afternoon service. Can I have a few more minutes? Is that all right? Best way to combat weeds. You know what it is? I've gone into the hardware store before and the garden center and trying to figure out, okay, I've got this certain kind of weed that's growing up, not quite sure what it is. What's the best chemical to put on it? You know, you can spend your life using all kinds of weed killers. But there is a better answer to resisting weeds. You know what it is? I'm talking about your yard now. And I do know what I'm talking about on this one. On your yard, you can spray all the weeds you want, but they're going to keep coming back because they're blowing in. My neighbor, for a while, she didn't take care of her yard, and I battled her weeds in my yard for many years. Now thank the Lord through whether it was the power of influence or a change of her heart, she's taking care of her weeds and it's made my life easier. Oh, you know what? There's a real spiritual lesson there too. You get rid and take care of temptations in your life, the things that cause you to be a downfall to you, you might help your children, you might help your husband or your wife or the saints because you are willing to get rid of something that was a hindrance to you, and then I look on you and it makes my life easier too. That's another lesson learned there. But the best way to keep weeds out of your yard is to have a good thatch of grass. Get rid of the bare spots. Because where you've got good thick grass, the weed seeds will come. But they can't get down into the dirt because it's full of good stuff. So the best way to combat weeds is to plant something good. You know, part of resisting the devil and keeping temptation at bay is to fill our life with good things. And then we wonder why people, it seems like they have time for everything else except for the Lord. And they're battling and battling and battling. It's like, you know what? You can battle and I want you to keep battling and keep using your weed killer. But there's a better thing you also need to incorporate. Start filling your life with good things. Start filling your life with take time for the Lord. Take time for His service. Take time to go serve other people. It's kind of like weight loss and exercise. I'm about convinced. I know exercise, you can burn calories. I'm not taking away from that. But I think exercise, it changes your mentality that when it's time to eat, you think, well, I just walked 2 miles. I'm going to be careful what I eat. It changes your mentality. It's not always as much the calories you burn when you walked, and that's good, but it changes your mentality and makes you more careful about what you put in your mouth. Same thing applies when you're taking time with the Lord. It makes you more careful about some of the areas that the enemy works in. You know what? There definitely will be a part two or part three. I think we'll just stop there. Let's take what we've heard this morning and let's resist. Let's fight. Let's not give in, and let's not turn on, if people are involved in part of our problems, let's remember they're really not the object. But our resisting is to be against the devil, and let's take it to heart. Let's not be complacent, but let's fight the good fight of faith, and the victory will be ours through the power of Jesus.